If you find yourself cycling into that same problem over and over and over and over again, then it's a pretty clear indication that you're at the source of the pattern. It's not to judge yourself. It's not to come down on yourself. It's just, isn't that interesting? I'm seeing this pattern within myself, right? This applies to work. This applies to dating. This applies to conversations with your partner, right? So many different places these things can show up. And as you notice the patterns, then you get to be curious with yourself, like, wow.
Hey there, peeps. This is Michelle Nedelec. Thank you for listening to the show. I would love if you could give us your opinion on how you felt about the show, your experience that you have in regards to what we've been talking about. I am having an absolute blast, but your input is like dynamite on that explosion. So give us your input. We'd love to hear from you. Any questions, comments, concerns, give us everything you got. We love it. Thanks. Hope you're having an awesome day. Welcome to the Business Ownership Podcast, brought to you by Awareness Strategies, helping you navigate the waters between entrepreneurship and ownership. Hey there, peeps. This is Michelle Nedelec, and I'm super glad that you're here with us today because I'm here with my most amazing guest, Michelle. Michelle, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Michelle with two L's. It's great to be here. Thanks.
Right. We are going to have a ton of fun. But in the meanwhile, let everybody know who you are and what you do for business.
Sure. So Michelle Molitor here. My company's Nectar Consulting. I'm an executive coach and hypnotherapist. And my unique rapid rewiring methodology helps entrepreneurs and executives get rid of the junk in their trunk, those old limiting beliefs and their subconscious mind and programming that they've been carrying around for sometimes decades. And we move it out of the way, eliminate it, and then rewire their mind, heart, and spirit with new empowering beliefs, habits, and strategies for success.
Yahoo! Well, you're speaking to the choir on this one, and I love it. So let's back up the bus a little bit. But how did you get into hypnosis and executive coaching and this as your particular field?
So I was a creative director in web development in my former career, until I got bullied off the dot-com bus in 2000.
How rude.
By a guy I hired. The audacity. And it just was really crushing to my confidence and my sense of value and self-worth. And I was really shaken by it, and I had no idea what to do next. And I discovered coaching to help me figure out what to do. And in the process of that, I was like, oh, this is the work I'm supposed to be doing. So I pivoted my career. I got trained and certified and hung out my shingle in 2001. And I've been coaching executives and small business owners for the last almost 23 years. Yeah. And I added hypnotherapy to the mix about 7 years ago when I discovered it for my own self to continue to process my own wounds that we all have in various stages in life, and realized how powerful it was and how quickly it really supercharged the coaching that I was doing. So I now work with clients typically over 3 to 6, 9 months to help them get at those deeper held beliefs that are lodged in your subconscious, which is 90% of your brain power versus the 10% that is your conscious mind. So by getting at those things at that deeper level, it really helps people create space within themselves to form new ideas, new beliefs, and new habits that improve not only their success, but also their health and their well-being oftentimes, because when we are not able to process the emotional traumas that we go through in life, they stick, right? They get caught in our cellular system and our nervous system. And so by moving those out, it clears out the stuff that ends up manifesting as physical disease in the body. So it's really powerful work. I love it. Everybody is different, and every day is different in my work. So
nice. Well, I think we've led parallel lives, so this is going to be a lot of fun. When it comes to who you work with now, who would you say is your ideal client, or who's your favorite to work with, or who comes to you more often?
My ideal favorite clients are typically folks in their 40s and 50s. They've achieved some level of success in their life. They're oftentimes going through a career transition, like, I'm done with that. I don't want to do that anymore, but I don't know who I want to be when I grow up, right? Or they're living through a very toxic work environment that's causing them to really like choose. Do I want to choose my own health and well-being, or do I want to stay in this place that's really having a very negative toll on me? So oftentimes people find me when they've tried many other things and nothing has worked. And so they are eager to do this work to let go of those old habits that keep attracting to them the negativity, the toxicity that they have in their environment, so they can completely change out things for better circumstances.
Thanks. So I noticed that on your website, you're focused particularly on the, all of a sudden the word popped out of my head, the
imposter syndrome.
Thank you. That's the one I'm looking for. And you have an interesting twist on it, because almost everything I had seen before regarding it was, hey, you're super successful and you don't feel like it. What's going on? Whereas to me, a lot of the inhibitions that people have when they do career changes isn't, hey, I'm successful and I don't feel like it. It's, hey, I have all this experience, but it doesn't seem to be working for me. Or there's a whole lot of other things going on. And you've identified a lot of areas where people, I think, can self-identify really clearly. And I think it helps people to self-identify that it's not just, you know, I've got all this and I don't feel like it, that there's a lot more going on there. Which I love. So can you elaborate a little bit more on kind of how you broke those up into those sections and where you take people with that?
Sure, absolutely. So having suffered through my own massive case of imposter syndrome, right? It took me years to figure that out and then crawl my way back out of that hole, right? How did I've been on this quest to reclaim my own confidence and figure out how to help other people not have to suffer through the bullying, the toxic workplaces that I had to go through. And so, in all my research and practice, what I found was imposter syndrome is this really nice top layer, right? It's the politically correct, the socially acceptable way of talking about self-doubt, right? And self-doubt is not something I want to go, hey, I have self-doubt. Yes, I do. Woohoo, right? People don't like to do that. But when you can recognize that self-doubt is actually what's holding you back, then you can start to shift the conversation with yourself. And the self-doubt didn't show up because you got bullied out of your job, like in my case. It was there at a much deeper level. So I've identified five different self-doubt archetypes. There's the fearful follower, the reluctant resistor, the anxious avoider, the procrastinating perfectionist, and the shapeshifter. And each one of these show up because of the circumstances in your life that have led you to believe things about yourself. The shapeshifter, for example, is often someone who has grown up with a narcissistic caregiver. So they're extreme people pleasers, because they're always having to shift and morph how they're being so that they stay safe, right? So they're learned ways of being based on the environment that you grew up in. And by being able to identify that, then you can start to unravel the whole, the vice grip that it has on you, and start to recognize your own innate strengths, your own value, and your own worth.
I love it. And I think it's really important that people can have something that they can identify. And trust me, I'm not a big fan of labels per se, but I do think that when somebody can self-identify and they go, oh yeah, that sounds like the thing that that's got a hold of me, then it's easier to go kind of down the rabbit hole or follow the hooks and get them unlatched, if you will, so that they can start to experience that freedom that one, they need to if they're going to change careers, and certainly if they're going to become entrepreneurs. But a lot of times I find that people get kind of, they escape from it and then they find it again. They escape from it and they find it again. So what have you experienced that? And if so, kind of what do you think is contributing to that kind of cyclical success?
Well, that's a great point. I think we all deal with self-doubt at various points in our life. We all probably have dealt with imposter syndrome at various points. I think 3 out of 5 adults have dealt with imposter syndrome at some point in their career. And the key is how quickly are you resilient from it? How quickly can you move through it? Because it can be very debilitating, that keeps you hiding out, that keeps you procrastinating, that has you step back from new, bigger, challenging roles versus stepping in. And so by identifying the underlying triggers and the areas of lack that you're holding within yourself, the beliefs that you're holding within yourself, then you can start to change those conversations that you're having, so that the outside conversations that are coming at you no longer impact you. The hurtful words of colleagues or coworkers or family members start to just roll off your back like water off a duck, right? And they no longer penetrate your heart and have you go, oh, the, you know, the wounds that can happen. And so by the practice of the tools that I use and the programs that I have for folks enables them to build those resiliency muscles. So when those attacks do hit them, they're like, huh, isn't that interesting? And they can keep moving and let it go.
Awesome. So when somebody is going through particularly business, I don't personally have as much experience in the corporate side of things because I realized it was toxic and just went, this is so not me. And I was way too rebellious to be a good employee. But I have noticed in the entrepreneurial world that sometimes people will get in a rut, but they don't necessarily feel like they're in a rut, or they think, well, of course I'm in a rut because the market changed, because you know, people aren't buying my stuff anymore, because whatever. And it's very kind of pragmatic look at kind of the problems and situations that they're in. What are some of the ways that people can tell that they're actually getting in their own way, as opposed to kind of that it's circumstance?
If you find yourself cycling into that same problem over and over and over and over again, then it's a pretty clear indication that you're at the source of the pattern. It's not to judge yourself. It's not to come down on yourself. It's just, isn't that interesting? I'm seeing this pattern within myself, right? This applies to work. This applies to dating. This applies to conversations with your partner, right? So many different places these things can show up. And as you notice the patterns, then you get to be curious with yourself. Like, wow, if I didn't make that choice, what other choice could I make that might get a different outcome? Because as Einstein once said, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results.
So when you're working with somebody, is there kind of things that they can do to be able to kind of either one, prepare themselves for working with you, or kind of being able to, I guess, ready themselves for the situation, or do they usually just dive in and go, oh, Michelle, you're awesome, I want to work with you?
Well, I always am happy to have a complimentary and confidential clarity call with folks to listen, to hear what it is that they're challenged with and what they've tried, what's not working. And from those conversations, typically I can discern, can I be of service? Am I the right person to help you? Or is this something that's outside of my wheelhouse? If it is, then I'm happy to recommend other colleagues that I have, or I can then share with folks the different ways that I can work with people, whether that's in a group setting or one-on-one, depending on the challenges that they're dealing with.
Very cool. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But when somebody identifies, so they go in, they take your quiz, they identify as, yeah, this is my primary issue, if you will. Is there, do you take them on a unique journey of discovery on based on that archetype, if you will, or are there other things that are dependent on how you work with them?
Sure. So that initial clarity call is really key to help me start to see. I mean, I can look at their self-doubt archetype and go, okay, that it's just data for me. Right. Mm-hmm. And then when someone does say, yes, I want to work with you, I have a pretty detailed intake call with them and questions that gives me a lot more information. So then I know exactly where to take them on the journey. It's why my clients dubbed me the mind detective, because from that information, I intuitively know where I need to take them on the path of healing to get them where they want to be on the other side. Because as you probably know, Michelle, the presenting issue that someone comes with is never the real issue. It's usually about five layers deeper, right?
Awesome. So talk to me a little bit more about kind of the pillars and how you've kind of discovered that this realm of self-sabotage is kind of pinnacle. If we can change this, then we can change the results, as opposed to the multitude of I guess layers that somebody could be looking at. Like you said, it's the kind of the five layers deep thing. How did you discover that that was the issue?
Sure. There's many, many answers to that question. What I'll say is that one of the things I discovered, I'm a book nerd. I'm constantly reading in all my books. 98.7% of my books are all around personal development and communication skills and leadership skills, et cetera, et cetera. And I discovered the work of Donna Hicks. She's an international conflict negotiator. And she's written two different books all about dignity. And what she found in these international conflicts was that the conflicts were occurring because people's dignity was violated. And it so resonated with me. And I could finally see that the wounds that we carry that create self-doubt all started when someone violated our dignity, when someone belittled us or made us feel less than or not enough or not worthy. And we took those words to heart, and then we created these barriers to connection to protect ourselves, right? You can thank your amygdala, that fight, flight, or freeze part of your brain. I like to call her Amy. Amy's your amygdala. She just wants to keep you safe and alive and on the planet, right? So Amy starts throwing up all these shields and cloaks and protective mechanisms so that you don't have to experience that version of pain again. The problem is we collect them over a lifetime. Amy doesn't ever get her programming updated until you do this kind of work. So recognizing where your dignity got violated and how that created the self-doubt, the fear, the anxiety, the I'm not enough story that you've been carrying around your whole life is really, really important. And then the next step, you can identify and go, yep, there's a thing. I got a thing right here, right on the end of my nose. It's another whole thing to remove it from the end of your nose and then reprogram your system with a new way of being that actually empowers you to be more successful, to be happier, to be healthier, to be more joyful in life. So it's a stepped process, but it's a really powerful one. It's well worth it. I was just on a call a little while ago with a client. She's like, I really thought I was going to do this work and you were just going to flip a switch and I wouldn't have to do anything and everything would be great. I'm like, well, this isn't the Matrix. I do not have a red pill and a blue pill. Right. But I do have tools to help you make that shift for yourself. I can just point it out and help you see and be your guide on the path of your own transformation and self-awareness to get you to the place that you want to be so that you can move the big boulders of fear and self-doubt that are really holding you back, so that there's just more lightness of being to move through.
I think it's really easy to forget that even though Nero took the pill, it was still a 2-hour movie.
Exactly. Or a 3-hour movie. I don't know which one, but they were long.
It was really long. And I think too that this, I love the conversation about communication with dignity, because I think they're very powerful words that people look up to with a dear amount of respect, and yet can cause a lot of triggers of, well, you didn't respect me. When meanwhile, it's just, there's so much going on in the conversation that, you know, people don't recognize what was actually said as opposed to what they thought was actually said, as opposed to what they meant about what was said. So talk to me about how people can create dysfunctional conversations by bringing these emotional triggers with them.
Well, we do it so unconsciously, right? We have all of these unconscious triggers and programs that we inherited from our family of origin, or we adopted growing up because of our life circumstances, all because of the environment, the water we were swimming in, so to speak, energetically, as we become adults. And so we're all covered in trigger buttons. We don't realize it. And we're having a conversation. All of a sudden I go poke, poke, poke. And I hit 3 buttons. And you're like, suddenly your whole face changes, right? Your whole demeanor changes. And I'm like, what did I say? Right? What happened? But you're triggered and your amygdala has now hijacked your brain. And so you don't have words. You're just pissed off. And I'm like, I don't understand. So, a really powerful tool that I now use, developed completely separately by my colleague, Joe Kittinger. At the same time, Donna Hicks was developing her book around dignity. He's developed a tool called Dignify. And dignify.com is a place that it's a communication tool that can be used with friends, with partners, with colleagues. It's used in corporations all over the world. And it helps identify, it's an emotional motivator. An emotional motivator snapshot. It's the closest thing to core values that I've identified at any kind of assessment that I've ever done. And I've done all of them. And so you can identify your top 5 dignity traits. But then the software platform gives you a way to have conversations with others and go, Michelle, tell me about your number 1 dignity trait called creative. And what does that mean to you? So it creates a safe container of psychological safety for people to talk with each other about the things that are most important to them, because it literally tells you what question to ask. Nice. And how do I bring more of that to our work together or our relationship together? And so it creates a whole different level of understanding. So the misinterpretations stop getting in the way and triggering more challenges versus clearing them out of the way.
I once heard somebody say, if you don't have the time or opportunity to count to 10, just go back and say, and what did that mean to you? I'm confused.
I love that.
Right.
Love
and it just gives you that little bit of, it was kind of funny. I was having a conversation with my son and I had brought a street lamp. Sounds really weird. From one house to the next house. And we put it in, set up the electrical, and I was scratching the old house numbers off to put on the new house numbers and little fun message, whatever. And he goes, oh, you took the house numbers off the house. I go, yeah. I go, what? He goes, oh, I'm just surprised. And then he walked off, and I'm like, oh my God, I ruined his childhood. I've just erased all of his childhood memories. Wah, wah, wah. I go, okay, there's slightly overreacting on my part on this one. So, you know, a little while later, paths cross again. I said, so are you okay with me taking the numbers off the sign? And he goes, yeah, I'm just surprised you could do it. Oh, okay, good.
Nothing. It's fascinating what we make up about stuff, isn't it?
Right. Like,
the words out of his mouth were perfectly innocent, but you took them in a whole different context. Oh, I'm a horrible mother. Oh my God, the earth and the sky is falling. And he's like, no, right. I'm just glad you could do that. Great. And how many times does that happen day in and day out, over and over and over again? My parents are 85. They've been married 64 years. They've been business partners for most of that. And one day my dad was all crabbity crab, crab, crab. Like, what's wrong, dad? Well, your mother. Rah, 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 rah. I'm like, dad, did it ever occur to you that maybe you're reacting to what you think she's going to say versus what she's actually saying? Maybe you should pause and just listen to the actual words that are coming out of her mouth versus making up things about what it could be. And he was like, huh, well, that's interesting. Let me think about that. And he walked off. I was like, hey, I was able to do just a little mind tweak with my dad. That was very rewarding.
Awesome. Yes, my parents are 90 and 91 and still married and crazily codependent, which I find particularly kind of hilarious, kind of sad, and kind of inspiring, actually.
So many things, all the things,
right? Like, how do we live like that? So what would you say is your favorite part of your business?
Oh, for sure, those aha moments that my clients arrive at. I have a handwritten thank you note that sits on my wall that I received from one of my clients. And on the outside, the quote from Buddha that says, the mind is everything, what you think you become. And on the inside, she wrote, thank you, Michelle. Even though our time together was short, you have forever changed my life. I will always be grateful. And this person is a high powered tech exec. She has all the bells and whistles in life. And yet she was secretly suffering from a sugar addiction. Right, eating pies late at night. And she's like, when she first came to me, very arms crossed, yeah, what are you going to do for me, right? How are you going to fix this? And I told her, you know, how this works. And she's like, I don't know, rah, rah, rah. And she finally came back to me a couple of weeks later. She was like, okay, I'll try. Because she's like, I've tried everything else, I don't know what else to do, I'm miserable, I hate this, but I don't know how to turn it off. And literally within less than 30 days, we were able to turn off the conversation that created the sugar addiction that had started when she was 16 and she was in her 50s at this point. And she sent this to me about 2 months later. She's like, yeah, I've dropped like 2 dress sizes. I'm happiest I've ever been. And I'm like, whoop, whoop. So those moments, those are my
in her
favorite.
Defense, I don't know how you could run a tech company without having some sort of sugar and or comfort food / whatever.
Exactly.
That's awesome. So what are some of the other stumbling blocks that somebody might be having, thinking, oh my God, Michelle, I need you in my business so badly?
Sure. Oftentimes entrepreneurs run smack up against their money ceiling. Right. Like, I get to this point and then something happens and I self-sabotage and then all my numbers drop. Right. And they keep doing this. They keep having this cycle. And so helping people reset their money conversations, finding out what's at the root causes of their beliefs that are getting in the way of their business success, that are keeping them from getting to that next level that they know they're capable of, right? They have all the skills, talents, and abilities, but for some reason, they just keep smacking up against it over and over again. Folks who are dealing with a lot of anxiety, stress, overwhelm because of their business circumstances, and then it starts to spiral out of control. I had one gentleman who came to me, veteran in his industry of 30 plus years, but he was getting more and more anxious Was he doing it right? Was he doing enough? Was waking him up in the middle of the night? So his sleep was going down. His procrastination was going up. His worry, his fear, and his anxiety was going off the charts. And when he came to me, he's like, yeah, I know I had, you know, not a great childhood and my mom wasn't the best mom, but I dealt with that. I forgave her. She's been gone for 12 years. I've moved on. I'm like, okay. And so we did several months worth of work together. And I think it was after our second hypnotherapy session. It's like at the end, I always ask clients, so were you surprised by anything that came up today? He's like, and he was really, really dry kind of guy, right? And he cracks this little smile. He's like, yeah, that it always comes back to my mom. It's like, yeah, really? It really does. Yeah, nine does. Times out of 10. But it was such a powerful aha for him. And the release that was able to happen because of the rewiring that we did, he reclaimed his sense of peace and calm and confidence and got back to work and stopped procrastinating and started playing his ukulele again and spending more time with his family and in his community. And, you know, he's like, you changed my life. I would love the quote that he gave me. He said, you're like the thorn in the lion's paw, and you helped me remove the thorn.
Aww.
And I'm just like, oh, so it just brings me so much joy.
Nice. I love it. So I know our listeners are going to want more from you. How do they start their journey with you?
So you can always find me at michellemolitor.com. And I'm sure these will all be in the show notes. I'm happy to have a complimentary discovery call. And I have, you know, several different ways that I work with folks. I have a fabulous online program called How to Become Unshakable, which is a monthly membership, and you get to go at your own pace to get at the root causes of your own self-doubt. And it's 20 years of all of my hard work poured into this. It's full of amazing, wonderful masterclasses and courses and group coaching and community. And there's one-to-one work that we can do together. And then I'm always giving talks at different places as well. So you never know where you might find me. Just come visit my website and you can get all the details.
Beautiful. I love it. So yes, of course, we will have all of your links in the show notes. So peeps, just scroll down, get Michelle's links, click on them, open them up in a new browser, of course, because we're not done yet. So Michelle, at what point in life did you know that you were a special kind of crazy enough to think that you could become an entrepreneur?
That's a great question. I don't think anybody's ever asked me that. It never really occurred to me that I was going to become an entrepreneur. I grew up in a family of entrepreneurs. My parents have been business partners. My brother and my sister all worked in the family business. I ran in the other direction and moved to France as an alternative into working in the family business. And it wasn't until I got bullied out of my corporate career and the thought of going back into corporate was terrifying, utterly terrifying to me. It was like there was no other choice. Like, oh, well, I'll just start my own business. And I just did. And I figured it out. And I've been, you know, figuring it out for the last 23 years. So
I love it. Well, in a weird sort of way, I'm glad you got bullied out.
Well, it was totally a blessing in disguise because it led me to my true calling and purpose. And I see that. But in the moment, I do not wish that on anyone.
Exactly. Not so much so. Awesome. You've been absolutely awesome. Any last words for our peeps?
Just remember that your mind is a powerful place. And when you rewire your mind, you change your thoughts, your life will follow.
Love it. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. And I know how valuable it is.
Well, thank you so much, Michelle. It's been a joy being here with you.
Thank you. Peeps, this is Michelle Nedelec. Thank you for being here with us today. Be sure to subscribe to the show, share it with your friends. We love helping entrepreneurs grow.
Are you running a business over seven figures but still struggling with technology headaches? Pay attention. You do not want to miss this offer. This podcast episode is brought to you by Awareness Strategies, who is offering a custom-built digital adoption roadmap for anyone running a business over seven figures who's wanting to grow their business in the next 5 years. And it's not just a roadmap. They offer full implementation as well. If that scares the out of you, check out awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap for more details today. The link's in the show's notes. Don't regret not doing this. Do it now. That's awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap.